A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who feared neither God nor respected any human being. And a woman in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling. But eventually, he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A few years ago, I was at the cathedral for the annual celebration of the people who were married 25, 50 years, and I believe it's still going on. But at that time, a few years ago, the bishop, he singled out a golden jubilee. And I think he was from St. Joseph's Parish. They have a lot of Italians over there. Well, anyways, this guy, whose name was Luigi. He happened to be Luigi. And the bishop asked him to come on up for a few minutes to the microphone and to share his insights into how you managed to be married to the same person for 50 years. So Luigi got up there and he said, I've tried to treat her well. I spend the money on her, and I do the best I can for her. And I took her to Italy for the 20th anniversary." And the bishop said, "Wow, Luigi, you're an amazing inspiration for all the husbands here. Tell us, please, what are you planning for you and your wife on your 50th anniversary?" And Luigi proudly replied, "I'm going to go and get her." It's an old one. Well, neither the bishop, nobody expected it, so he immediately was thrown out of the sanctuary. But there's a point to the story. I never tell jokes or anything unless I have a point to be made. And it is, there's an unexpected twist there. And the precise mechanism that you're going to need today to unlock this gospel parable, if you're going to understand it, because it's a very challenging parable. So I want you to put that little story aside and now open your hearts. You heard the gospel. There's a proud judge who feared no one, not God, nor any human being. And he is unwilling to hear the pleas of people who are poor and defenseless, especially this widow. This widow who is without a man, without protection, without security in her society. But she persists until she gets justice. And the judge gives in. And he gives in not out of principle, but rather because he fears that the woman's going to get violent. It's interesting to note, by the way, that the original language, the Aramaic, when the judge says to himself, "I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she come and strike me," the real translation is, "unless she comes and gives me a black eye," or that she punches me out. And I'm sure Jesus' crowd got a laugh at that. But in any case, I suspect that all over the Catholic world today, my brother priests, having read this gospel, they will preach, they will compare the judge to God and urging the faithful who are compared to the widow to be similarly persistent in prayer and not to give up. I've heard that kind of homily all my life. This equating the judge with God, that's very shaky to do that. Because after all, the Bible is full of lines saying that God hears the cry of the poor, that God is eager and willing to give good things to those who ask. So it's hard, when you really look at it, to equate an insensitive judge to God. But that's what preachers do. In fact, the storyline says twice, that the judge is not exactly a sterling character, for he neither fears God nor respects human beings. And besides, is this message that if you badger God long enough, that you can eventually wear down God and get what you want? Is it right to make God a punchy old man who needs his sleep? And if you play the radio loud enough, long enough, he'll give in to you and give you what you want? Is the parable saying that you can bribe or bargain with God? And it really doesn't do any good to go through the back door here and say, well, the point is, Father, that if an insensitive God, of a judge, will finally answer this widow's plea, how much more will God answer our prayers? Baloney. That too, I think, straining the comparison. Straining it. This is what I suggest. That there's a more fruitful and less obvious and unexpected way to understand this parable. And why not see the widow instead of the judge as imaging God? You see, once you reverse the characters, then you have a whole new perspective of what this parable is really all about. That is to say that when the widow is seen as a God-like figure, then the message of the parable becomes crystal clear. And the message of the parable is that anyone who determinately resists injustice, who faces it and names it and denounces it until right is achieved, is acting as God acts. That's the person who is God-like. Because that's what God is all about. Justice. And seeing that what is right is done. Throughout her persistence, the widow becomes kind of like a Gandhi figure or a Martin Luther King figure. Against all odds, she will endure until justice is done and God is present. So the parable is not about strategies to wear down God, a reluctant God at that. That's not what this parable is all about, with nonstop prayer and threatening black eyes. But it's about justice. It's about us little people who act like God whenever we persistently seek, and often sometimes against terrible odds, to see that justice is done. whenever, to update the story today, not to give in and be afraid of bullies or misogynists or xenophobes, to put the whole self-serving politicians' feet to the fire, to work to have children insured and free of violence. We are to uncover the greed and corruption that siphons off money from the poor. We need to improve education, to break down walls and barriers that separate people, to speak out for Mother Earth, for racial and gender equality. There's a lot that needs to be made right in our society, in the world. Not too long ago, I was reading a little article about a black man and his family who were traveling in the South in the 1950s. Many of you can remember those days. And they stopped for rest for a few moments along the highway, and there was a park there. And so his daughters spotted the swing set at the playground. And so they pulled their father toward the swings. But they were too young to read the sign that warned that this playground was for whites only. And sadly and patiently, the man told his daughters that they could not play there. And he explained why. This was their first encounter with racism, and they burst into tears. So, as much as his mother, who was a daughter of a slave, had done for him when he was a child, this man gathered his children in his arms, and he embraced them, and he said to them, "Listen, you little girls are somebody. You're somebody. In fact, you are so important and so valuable to God and so powerful that it takes the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the entire state police force to keep you off those swings." And one day, because of another widow named Rosa Parks, would persist. And those little girls would grow up to see justice done, to see signs taken down, and God would be present. So once more, my brothers and sisters, the judge is anyone who thwarts justice. And the woman in our gospel is anyone who acts like God in her pursuit of justice. You know, this woman was formidable. I wonder, though, was she the only one that took on the judge? Was she the only one who hungered and thirsted for justice? She shouldn't have been. And those who do in our society shouldn't be alone either. They should have us as company. Because we are most godlike when we act and support those who stand up and fight for what is right, for justice, for peace, for basic human rights for all people. So I propose to you that that's what this gospel was really all about.